Today's scripture continues in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 33. That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy. Also your daughters, your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they will prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives. The day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen carefully to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man who thoroughly accredited by God to you, the miracles and wonders and signs that God did through him are common knowledge. This Jesus, following the deliberate and well-thought-out plan of God, was betrayed by men who took the law into their own hands and was handed over to you. And you pinned him to a cross and killed him. But God untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him. Dear friends, let me be completely frank with you. This Jesus God raised up, and every one of us here is a witness to it. Then, raised to the heights and the right hand of God, and receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he poured out the Spirit he had just received. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The question before us today has long been forgotten, although our time considers itself progressive in again affirming metaphysics. All the same, we believe that we are spared the exertion of rekindling a gigantomachia perites usias, which we all know is a battle of giants concerning being. It is said that being is the most universal and the emptiest concept. As such, it resists every attempt at definition. Our first proposition must be, being is the most universal concept. An understanding of being is always already contained in everything we apprehend in beings. But the universality of being is not that of genus. Being does not delimit the highest region of beings so far as they are conceptually articulated according to genus and species. According to the designation of medieval ontology, being is a transcendence. Clearly, we can see from this evidence that the parousia is an uncertain...
Wow, Brett's sermon is really boring today. I mean, they're pretty much always painful, but this is ridiculous. Seriously, what is he talking about? What is the parousiosis?
Who cares? He probably doesn't really know what it means either.
Good point.
Wait, you guys, did you purposely fall in the stars? Oh my god!
So we can see in Acts this day, Pentecost is all about getting in touch with the Spirit, getting in touch with God. The disciples were all disjointed. They were terrified. They were uncertain of how to proceed. They were only told to sit and wait. How helpless they must have felt. But the whole time, God was just waiting for the right moment. God knew exactly what shape the disciples were in. He knew how terrified they were, how unprepared they were, how afraid they were. But God also knew the right time to help. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes into the mix. And all these big words that I was using, sort of tongue-in-cheek, parousia, gigantomachia, talking about ontology and these, you know, metaphysics. I mean, all this is interesting at times, but what it all comes down to when we're talking about the Spirit and what it all comes down to here, these are all just, it's just another way to talk about Christ and our relationship with Christ. This is why God sent the Spirit, so that we might better know Jesus. I may say a bunch of confusing stuff sometimes, and I just get carried away, but in reality, it's really simple. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with us.
Wait, so if those stupid words don't really mean anything, why do we always hear so much about them?
Hey, guys.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was me.
Who is me? Where is that coming from?
It's just me, Jesus. Brett's been talking about me for a while now. Weren't you listening? I guess he can be sort of boring sometimes.
So you're saying that the voice we're all hearing is Jesus Christ?
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah?
Oh, sorry.
Whoops. Okay, so let's just assume you really are Jesus. Why are you talking to us?
Well, because, while it might seem strange, Brett is actually right. I really do want you to get to know me. I already know you pretty well, but I would really like you to know a little about me.
I mean, we sort of do. You were a pretty nice guy, and you healed a bunch of people and stuff.
Yeah, you said a lot of really nice things about treating people equally. We know you. We're all pretty good people.
Well, yes, that's all true, even the part about you being pretty good people. But there's a lot more to it than that.
Like what? The basics are usually the most important.
Well, remember that stupid word Brett used, parousia? Well, that means that I will come into the world again sometime. I don't know when. Only my father knows that. But don't worry, it will happen. And when it does, I want you to know that I am more than just a nice guy who encourages people to love their neighbor. I am much more than that. I am love itself.
What does that even mean?
It means that, no matter what, I will love you perfectly and forever. I will be with you at all times, whether or not you know it, or even if you don't want me there, I will be there.
That's pretty deep. I don't know if I'm ready for that, Jesus.
Well, lucky for you, I'm pretty patient. Take all the time you need to learn about me, and one day accept me. I'll be right here at any time.
Where can we learn more about you?
Yeah, I mean, I know the Bible is the place to go, but sometimes the Bible seems so disconnected from me.
Well, lucky for you again, I'm not only in the Bible, I'm in all things, all people. Look for me in your friends, in your family. I bet that you'll even start to see me a little bit, and then you can use the Bible more. Also, it might even help to listen once in a while to Brett and Lou. They're not as boring as they might think, at least sometimes.
Well, I had a lot of fun with that. I don't have much else to say. I think they did a really good job. But I want to say a couple things. Sometimes it's really easy to get caught up in scholarship and liturgy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I really love the Presbyterian Church and the liturgy that comes with it. I grew up in this church. I grew up with this liturgy. It means a lot to me, and I feel at home in it. But sometimes I just can't help but feel that liturgy and scholarship gets in the way sometimes. One of my friends told me before I went into seminary, he had graduated 4 or 5 years before I entered. He told me seminary is the best place to go to lose your religion. And I didn't experience that, but at times it does feel like that. And when it comes down to it, I'm not involved in the church because of the liturgy. I'm not involved in the church because of the pay. I'm really involved in the church because of Christ and the community that I find in Christ and in church. Because of my unique relationship with Christ, it took me a long time to be comfortable in that, and I still struggle with it, but it's my relationship with Christ. It's mine, and it's his, and it's ours, and it's strange and confusing, and I don't understand it. But in the end, it always comes back to the love that I know Jesus has for me. And it's it's kind of nice. It's a really hassle-free relationship. It's also quite rare. It requires us to give just a little bit of yourself every day. Every day, just give a little bit of yourself to Jesus. And then all you have to do is see what he wants to do with it. That's it. Just get to know him. And then give him a little bit of yourself, little at a time. It's simple, it's beautiful, it's free, and I promise you it'll change your life. That's all I really wanted to say. Thanks so much to my class. You did a great job.